Good morning. It is 10 o'clock. We have sunny skies on a beautiful Saturday. Time now for Raider Rap. This week, KYMN 95 The One is unveiling a new version of Raider Rap, including a brand new host. So we are going to introduce our play-by-play man for hockey is also our in-studio host, Jimmy LaRue. Good morning, Jimmy.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Thank you so much. And it is an absolutely beautiful day. It's sunshine, a little hazy, but fantastic. And what a way to start things off. We have our activities director in today. We have the athletic director and all kinds of other hats he may be wearing. Joel Olson, welcome.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you.
Welcome to the studio. This is the first time you've been in studio, we've been told.
Yep. First time.
You know, that's great to have you here. Thank you so much for taking your time on a Saturday and coming out here. We want to get you in here first thing in the morning to talk all things sports because well, you should be the man in the know, right?
Right.
Okay. So let's just do a little background check here, Joel. You are the activities slash athletic director. What does that all entail? How do you become an athletic director? I mean, are you a coach? Are you a player? How do you get there?
Sure. I used to coach when I was a teacher. I coached wrestling and football, and I was pursuing administrative license and in my master's degree program, and ended up getting a principal's license. And when I was teaching in North Branch, Minnesota, at that time, and then the position in Forest Lake had opened up, and I had applied, and that was in August of that year. And I know when it's August, they're scrambling for somebody, and apparently nobody really wanted the job, so they took a chance on me, and I ended up spending 12 years in Forest Lake, and then I left there and went
as the principal or the
activities director.
Activity.
Yep.
Okay.
And then I left and went to Eastridge High School up in Woodbury and spent 3 years there, and was very happy there. But then when Tom retired here in Northfield, he's a friend of mine and a mentor, and I just called him and asked about, you know, what was the situation and things, and me growing up in Faribault, it was a chance to come back close to home and be around my parents again, and so interviewed, and they decided that I would be the person for the job. So now I'm in my second year. So
very good.
Yeah.
Well, it's awesome.
Thanks for
being here. Is this something that you aspired to originally, or you just kind of, it was just the career path that you kind of chose and you went towards? I mean, if I'm a high school student today, could I say, hey, you know what? I want to be like Joel. I want to be an activities or slash director of athletics.
Yeah, it was with that principal's license that was kind of where I thought I was going. And once I did the AD job, I just fell in love with it. And just continued doing that, and kind of as the career path progressed, it was like you kind of hone in on what is the best fit for you from a school standpoint, and coming here has been that fit. For kids that want to do it, it's different depending on the school district, whether you want to go to the college level, things like that. Some school districts don't require any requirements from a licensure standpoint or anything like that, and that tends to be more on the private school side, maybe smaller schools that you might teach part-time, but also you're the AD part-time. Bigger schools like ours, the requirement is you need to have an administrative license because you do some administrative work that's required. So the best thing to do is you know, go to college if you want to teach, start teaching and coaching if you can, whatever levels. And then I refereed wrestling for 2 years. So you kind of get the full picture of what each role from a athletic standpoint is, and you can appreciate those. So the more opportunities you can take to do that, whether it's in college or post school into your teaching career or whatever, then you take advantage of those. And the turnover rate for ADs is pretty high. The average is about 4 years for most ADs that stay in the position.
And is that just because of advancement opportunities, things like that?
I think some get into it so they can go into the principal side of things. Others, it's tough. It's long hours and a lot of things going on, and more has been put on our plates to manage and take care of. And I think some people just say it's not worth it, and so they get out of it. Every year there's a new AD workshop that the high school league puts on, and the average is about 30 to 40 new ADs every year. So if you think about 300 and some odd schools around the state, that's quite a high turnover.
It's 10 to almost 10-15% turnover there, depending on how many show up every year.
Yep.
That's a lot. So, I mean, you're married, I'm assuming.
Yes, sir. Right?
So you're married. So, okay, how's the wife feel about all those long hours?
She's very supportive. We're second marriages, and so I have a daughter, and she has a daughter and a son. My stepson is a freshman at the U of M, and my stepdaughter's a sophomore over at Lakeville North. And then my daughter's still up in Forest Lake. And so that, you know, you tack on the family aspect of things, of trying to coordinate and be there for your family at the same time. That gets tough. But my daughter, she's been around it her whole life. She's 16, and, you know, she was a baby when I first started. And so she understands that. You miss some things. Like today, once I leave, I'm going to go watch her dance competition up in Chaska, so I can take time to do that. But like this week was, we had a lot of events going on, but I was out for three nights this week going to the events. And so you get home late, but my wife is really good about supporting and understanding, and she'll come to some of the things once in a while so we can have kind of a date night at the game, so we can see each other. So
popcorn and a bottle of water.
That's right.
All right.
That's right.
Always a good time.
Yeah.
So, is there any aspirations as you got into this? And now, of course, you were going to, you know, you're leaning down that principal. Then you came here. So the activities director / athletic director. It used to be just the athletic director, but
correct.
Now it's called activities because you've got choir and you've got cheerleading and you got dance and you've got
musicals. Clubs, DECA, speech, debate, if schools have
math. I hear you got a math.
We got a math team. We got a bowling team. Last spring started the fishing team. My belief is that if we can provide opportunities for kids to be connected at school, I'd love to have 100% of our kids doing something. And so when those opportunities come up, it's not, how do we not do this? It's like, how can we get this accomplished for them? And we have great people that want to volunteer if they need to and help out these kids. So it's really cool to see.
So I know one of the more popular ones now are the skeet teams.
Oh, Clay Target.
Clay Target and stuff like that.
Yeah, we have over 100 kids in that, all volunteers that work with those kids. And you have kids from sixth grade or seventh grade all the way up through the high school. And now there's colleges that are offering scholarships for that, and it's just amazing to see those kids that might not do anything else, but here's something they're connected to the school with.
I thought curling was a challenge. Now you can get a scholarship for shooting. I missed my opportunity. Because when I grew up, I might be aging myself just a hair here, but we would have the shotgun just right in the back seat or strapped to the truck, and we'd go out duck hunting in the morning, come into school, go to school all day, and then after practice, we'd go hit and we'd hit the duck ponds again. So I missed my calling, I guess. So, but that's great. So when you talk about programs like this, this isn't free. How do you add programs? How do you bring in more? Because I get what you're saying, because, you know, not everyone has the same desire, right? Not everyone can be a basketball player. Not everyone could be a hockey player. Some people are really good at chess. Some are good at math. Yep. Some are good at speech. Yep. Speech is a skill. Where does that? I mean, the funding has to come from somewhere. You can't just, well, you know what? We're gonna start our trap shooting events and. Oh, what the heck? Here's a couple thousand dollars.
Right, right.
Where's that come from?
For some of those programs like that, it's all self-funded by the kids and the parents. They'll get sponsorships and things like that to help defray some of the costs, but those are mostly funded by the kids. And some of those sports, even like say alpine skiing or Nordic skiing, for instance, they pay a fee. So those sports that are in the school that have been traditionally in your school programs, the kids pay a fee to be in the sport. But programs like, and they all have this, but Alpine, I think of Alpine and Nordic especially, they're buying hundreds of dollars worth of equipment on their own, skis, speed suits, things like that. So not only are they paying the fee to be in the program, they're paying a lot of money past that to just outfit themselves to be in that program. The school budget kind of works where we have, give or take, a third of the fees that kids pay to be in programs cover the costs of running the programs. The school district then uses some of the general fund money, probably two-thirds, whatever that percentage is, to help with the rest of those costs. And that's salaries, transportation, supplies, fees to go into different events. Like wrestling might have a tournament that they're in, and they have to pay a fee to be in it. So some of those dollar amounts. So every sport has a budget, and salaries and supplies and transportation and fees. And that's what we go with, and we give that to the coaches each year, and we work through what are the things that they're going to need, and we just tell them this is what you got, and you got to kind of stay within that budget.
Well, then, is it you then that goes to the school administration and says, okay, look, we need X number of dollars this year?
We kind of look at a three-year history of what was spent, and then I meet with our finance director, and we kind of talk through, has anything changed? Some years, transportation might have to get bumped up a little bit in some sports because they travel more. Sometimes they're closer to home, or they're at home more. So we need to up the officials' stipends because that's another piece of it, paying for the officials. So, and then I kind of touch base with her about once a month and just see where we're at and how we're doing. We do a really good job of staying within that budget. But then you have the sports that might have booster clubs or other things that they're fundraising for to cover some of those things that used to be wants. And now in this day and age, those wants sometimes have become needs. And so there's things that we just can't, like we might not be able to cover the whole cost of a whole team's football uniforms. So then the football team and the booster club pitches in and helps out with some of those costs. So,
is there any state or federal grants, programs, things like that that help kick in for local area schools?
They're very specific to more student leadership, student development, that side of things. So like the high school league has two programs. One is they have it's the State High School League Foundation. And so all the tax, what would be taxed on state tournament tickets, so for every sport, all that state tournament tax goes into this foundation. And that was a law passed by the legislature. And so they have this foundation so that you can access funds. So at the beginning of the year, we get our free and reduced numbers, and there's a formula we use, and we submit those to the State High School League Foundation, and then we get a check back to help cover some of those. It doesn't cover all, but some of those costs of free and reduced reductions that we have. So that just kind of helps put money back into the program. And then in February coming up, then you can submit another grant application for student leadership. And we have Rally, which is a large number of students that are kind of our leaders, have chosen to be chemically free and not partake in that stuff, but also leaders in the classroom and captains and things like that. And we use that money to bring in speakers, get them books, and do ongoing training every month with them. So those are the funds we can get for that kind of stuff. There's not really an avenue to get funds on a regular basis to help defray some of those other costs.
Where does the Minnesota State High School League come in to play with all of this?
You are self-governed from a school standpoint. You are self-governed from a region standpoint or a section standpoint. So all tickets, like our ticket revenue from our events that we host, go into the fund. So that's part of that conversation with the finance director of what's our income, and then where does that fit into building the budget. When it comes to region or section games, so like when we get into the playoffs, all of that money goes into paying, or all the revenue for that goes back to the region, but then the region pays all the bills. So it's kind of a, you're hosting it, but you're not keeping any of the money, but then you don't have to pay all the bills either. So that works that way. The high school league is their only input is the foundation piece, and they're very hands off as far as how you're going to run programs and things like that.
Coming up, it's 10:15, and we're on the way to wrap here this morning. Our guest is Joel Olson, Activities Director for Northfield. We're going to take a couple-minute break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the big fish in the discussion. It's the advancement and going up in class for the Raiders and how that affects each team and what that affects you as well. That all coming up on the Raider Wrap here on KYMN.
Northfield Lines has an excellent team of drivers with over 400 years of combined safe driving. They're proud of their record and accomplishments, as well as the records and accomplishments of all the Raiders sports teams, and would like to wish them ongoing success. For shuttle services, events, and other transportation needs, contact Benjamin Bus and Northfield Lines, your trusted friend on the road. And go Raiders!
This is Barb from Professional Drive Dental, letting you know that the doctors and staff at Professional Drive Dental are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Drive Dental has delivered for over 35 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. Brian Craby, Dr. John Nowak, and our newest addition to the practice, Dr. Tyler Yonke, go Raiders!
Hi, I'm Jackie, Manager of Reflections End-of-Life Care Suites on the Three Links campus. At Reflections, we work with families and their loved ones to provide comfort care in our peaceful setting with spacious suites, family areas, chapel, conservatory, and more. Our staff specialize in providing 24-hour nursing care to support your peace of mind. Please call Reflections at Three Links for more information about the care we provide at 664-8809. Or find out more at threelinks.org.
Ask if it's time for a fluid change at Witt Brothers Service. Transmission fluid is essential for smooth shifts and optimal performance. Over time, the fluid may become contaminated, which can create slippage during shifting and could even damage your vehicle's transmission. Ask their professional technicians to check your transmission fluid as part of your overall preventative maintenance program to help avoid problems down the road. Stop by Witt Brothers Service, located at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield, for all your automotive maintenance and repair needs.
Your home, auto, and life are important to you. That's why the Northfield Insurance Agency works hard to provide you with the right protection. Kevin and Stan offer the products you need with the premier service you deserve. They carry business, auto, farm, homeowners, commercial, and bonds. Northfield Insurance is your independent agent, and they're connected with many insurance companies providing you with the lowest possible rates. That's the Northfield Insurance Agency.
And we're back here on the Raider Wrap here on Saturday morning. It's about 10:18 in the a.m., about 28 degrees, I do believe, a little bit of sunshine. It's a beautiful December morn. We've only got a couple more weeks as the sun sets a little bit earlier. And then as I look at it, as of December 21st, spring is right around the corner because the days get longer. I like to be enthusiastic and optimistic in that vein. With us today, Joel Olson, Activities Director for the Northfield Raiders, and we really, again, appreciate you taking your time and coming in here. I want to talk about a couple of different things that happened this year. There's movement within the classes and things like that. The Raiders are still in the Big Nine Conference, but they also moved from 1A to 2A, and then how does that affect each team? Now, I know you and I discussed just beforehand, it affects the football team one way, it affects the hockey team a different way, maybe it affects baseball a different way. How does that affect things? What does the change mean for the Raiders? Where do we go from here?
So I'll kind of start with how we got there. The high school league, every 2 years, they redraw boundaries for our section assignments. And when we talk about section is the competitive side of our playoffs and things like that. Regions are the governing body of our schools. So like we're always going to be in region 1AA. That's just our geographic location. All the schools, there's 14 or some schools in that region. We're always going to be governed by one region 1AA. Sections is the playoff side. That's where we kind of move around. And our situation is that we're one of those kind of border schools with our population, and the high school league takes our numbers from the previous year, so it would have been our October 1 child count. That's the kind of the drop dead date for everything. They take those numbers, they look at our free and reduced numbers, they have some kind of formula, they look at our co-ops, and it's only in those certain sports. So it's not like, say, in basketball. We don't co-op with anybody. So we're not looking at that other school's numbers. It's just the numbers in our school. But like with hockey or gymnastics, we co-op with some other schools. So they look at both schools' numbers. But originally, they take that number of your school, and for us, and it will be forever ingrained in my mind, 1252 is where we ended up for the number. And with that, when other schools, when they're looking at the whole state, so it's a ripple effect, there's some schools that might have dropped in population, some might have grown, some might opt up, so they might not have enough people to be in that class, but they want to go to the next class because it's more competitive or it's a better fit for them. Like for wrestling, we could have probably dropped down to 2A. We chose to be in 3A because of it's a better competitive fit for us. So we stayed there. So once all those numbers are done, then the high school league picks a point on the map every 2 years, and they just start drawing circles around where these group of schools can belong in those same population areas. So where we end up then is based on all those factors, we become that between school. So we could be the biggest school in the lower class or the smaller school in the upper class. And so I think the history has been, there's probably been that movement back and forth over the years because of that. And until you get a really big bump and you're either going to stay up, or if you get a dramatic drop and go down and stay down, I think that will always be the case for us. So it's not as easy as just saying, well, we got more kids coming in and we got bumped up. There's some factors that go into it, and then they take those factors, and then we're part of this bigger puzzle that gets put together, and then we kind of fit in where the high school league says we're going to fit in.
So then how does that go with scheduling? For example, the hockey team, right? They played Mankato East on Thursday night, and they're in the Big Nine Conference.
Right.
So that was a Big Nine matchup, so that was important. But at the end of the day, we're not going to see Mankato East in the playoffs. No. So how does that affect scheduling and things like that? And
so with each sport, so for hockey, for instance, they have a 25-game schedule. The Big Nine schedules, the teams, we play each other at least once, and then there's some schools where you might play twice. And some of those decisions are based on, are you in the same section for competition? So like Owatonna, we'll play them twice, or someone like that. So then you've got probably four or five games that are non-conference games, then you can go out and find those other schools. So like we play Lakeville in hockey, so we can get a chance to see them. Otherwise, we'd never see them based on our conference schedule. So that gets a little tricky with scheduling because, you know, the previous year we were in 1A and we were playing South St. Paul, Simley, and those schools. And when we got bumped up, those games aren't going to help us from a seeding standpoint, from a seeing other opponents in your section standpoint. So then you got to talk to those schools and say, here's the situation. We need to drop you and go out and get these other schools. Hopefully they haven't already scheduled their games, or they've still got some openings that we can still play them. So the schools that are kind of entrenched, like your big schools that are already got their schedule, they can make a schedule up, you know, a year ahead of time. For us, when we don't know, we're trying to scramble a little bit between seasons to try to find games in case we've gotten moved. So when we got bumped up to 2A for hockey, the Mankato piece, the Faribault piece, we'll only play them with a conference schedule, but they have no meaning on a section placement or a section seating or anything like that.
Sounds like you have a lot of background administrative stuff that you're doing on a regular basis. Are you on the Big Nine Council, or are you just attend some of the meetings?
We have the ADs meet every month, and then the executive, what would be principals and superintendents and ADs, meet three times a year. And then region-wise, 1AA, we meet three times a year. And then there's executive committees from there that meet as well. So your decisions for how playoffs are going to look, what policies are going to be determined from a region level, are met with that group and the AD input. From the Big Nine side, there might be things that might be tweaked a little bit from a conference standpoint, where superintendents and principals want to be involved, and that might be our conversation right now is about school start times and how does that affect sports. You know, if you're going to start later, how's that going to affect games and getting out of school and things like that. So, but we like I'm in charge for our big nine. I'm in charge of golf. So I meet with those coaches. We talk about what does the schedule look like? What are the policies we want to have for golf? I bring that to the ADs. They vote on it and approve it. And then that's how it works. So each of the ADs is responsible for a different sport. And then for the Meridian side, I'm in charge of tennis. So then that's a whole different thing that I run for the region. So
that's all you do? Really? Come on.
Okay, so you do all that, and okay, that sounds like plenty to me. Mm-hmm. But you still have to work with all the individual coaches on the team. So what else do you do with the team? How do you get involved with them, or you know, how often are you engaged with the teams?
Well, so that can be tough. We have a high percentage of coaches that are not teachers or work in the building. So you've got staff that are, you know, business people or whatever that work out in the community that. You don't see them on a regular basis during the day. So some of the things I've learned and done over the years, I do a weekly check-in. So I send out basically it's a Google form with five questions on it just to say, how's it going? And what are things that I need to look at or things that you might need help with? So every Friday that goes out. So that gives me that connection with them. We do a preseason meeting, mid-season meeting, and then an end of year meeting with the coach. In that season, with going to some practices and watching games, doing these check-ins, I feel like we've got a good a way of connecting with them. And when things come up, when things bubble up, which they do, we're on the phone talking or meeting and saying, how do we solve the problem or get through this together?
I was going to say, we were talking earlier, the girls' hockey team went to Hockey Country up to War Road today for a tournament, and you got a phone call morning.
Got a phone call, and actually it was a parent, and he says, I got my friend up here. The game time isn't what we have for the game, and originally that game up on War Road was supposed to be at night, and I know over the summer we asked to have it moved during the day so we could get the girls home sooner, and for whatever reason, I thought it was going to be a 12 o'clock JV, noontime varsity, because that's how it usually works. You go JV varsity. And so then I call the AD. I finally got his phone number, his cell phone number. And he goes, no, we got to put him at 12 because we got another varsity boys game coming in afterwards, and the girls JV's got to go to this other rink. And so then I call Paige, and I apologize and said, here's the deal. And so things like that come up that you don't expect. You know, you wake up on a Saturday morning, you don't expect a phone call saying that the hockey game time isn't right. So
and they're 7 hours north of us.
Exactly. Here, you miss things, and that's what I really struggle with and feel bad about when I do miss things. But for the most part, you know, 90% goes well, and that's what we can hang our hat on. It's those little things that happen, and what I've come to realize is that everything we do is public. So like if they didn't show up for a noon game today, everybody would know that something got messed up, or if a bus doesn't show up or an official doesn't show up. So when everything can go right, it makes you feel pretty good. So, so we'll hang our hat on the 90% that goes right. So.
Well, Joel Olson, activities director here for Northfield. It's 10:28. We really appreciate your time. We know you've got a dance competition for your daughter.
Yep.
It sounds like you've got plenty of stuff in the background to keep you busy, but we want to make sure you get to that dance competition
today.
Thank you so much for coming.
You bet.
We'd love to have you on again.
I'd love to be here. This was great.
You know, I think we got some good stuff we can still talk about. We could spend hours. Oh, we could. Absolutely. We'll have to bring donuts next time, I think. Yeah, that's what we got to do. But Joel Olson, our guest today, thank you so much. It's 10:29. We'll take a short break. We'll come back. We got AJ coming up. He's got some local area scoreboards coming up for us. He's got an interview this morning with Jose Gonzalez, who's from the swim team. We've got some additional score updates and things like that to get to yet. We're not done. And we'll be back with the Raider Wrap coming up on KYMN.
You thought you could make a midnight run to the store for a loaf of bread. What you got was a minor fender bender instead. I'm State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell in Northfield, and I know that accidents can happen anytime. That's why we give you 24-hour good neighbor service, so night or day, help is just a phone call away. For your insurance and financial needs, phone me, State Farm Agent Mark Quinnell, at 645-4545.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Accuracy is important when it comes to things like heart surgery, tightrope walking, and it's also very important for your vehicle tires to be in alignment to prevent extra wear and tear on your tires and suspension. Elite Auto Care can help ensure that your alignment is straight as an arrow, saving you time and money in the long run. They have a state-of-the-art alignment rack and offer alignment checks daily. Stop in today and make sure you're driving straight. Plus, alignment is included with the purchase of 4 new tires. Find them 6 days a week at 517 Water Street, Northfield, or online at EliteAutoCareMN.com.
Northfield Construction Company has provided quality general contracting services to the Northfield community for over 45 years. Our experienced and diverse team can handle projects from the smallest home remodel to a large-scale commercial project. Whatever your construction need, Northfield Construction will deliver. Call us today about your next project, 507-645-8975.
Wenzel Heating and Air Conditioning in Eagan is a customer-focused company that employs highly trained people whose goal is to be the best service company in the 13-county metro area. When you deal with Wenzel HVAC, you can expect a positive working environment, practical advice and suggestions, flexible payment options, cutting-edge technology, headache-free maintenance, a dedication to service, and technical excellence. Serving the South Metro, Wenzel HVAC in Eagan. Call 651-894-9898.
Family Fair, Northfield's convenient downtown grocer, has fresh and unique options. Tortilla chips that are fried in-store, or the deli soup bar with three different soups each day. Unique. Check out the gourmet cheese selection. Wow. Stop in, grab the weekly ad, get a Starbucks, get what you need, and be on your way in minutes. Family Fair, your local neighborhood market that provides real values for real people in real communities, right here on Division Street.
10:32 on a beautiful Saturday morning. Jimmy LaRue with you this morning. Jeff helping me out here in the studio. And, of course, we want to again thank Joel Olson for coming in, the activities director for the Northfield Raiders. And not to forget Cheryl Dockett, the assistant who helps him out with a lot of stuff. If, for those of you that were listening, it was great and fantastic. He's got a lot of stuff on his plate, but Cheryl really helps take some of that off for him. And he wanted to make sure that we did a little shout out to her as well, because without her, he would be swimming on his own. So thanks again to Joel. We'll get him back in here sometime this year as well to have some more discussion with that. Coming up this morning, we've got AJ Reister we've got some scoreboard reports. We've got some Raider interviews coming up, and then some score recaps throughout the week. So that's all coming up this morning. So let's kick it over to AJ, and he's going to update us on what's going on with the scoreboard on KYMN. AJ.
Good morning, Northfield Raiders. I am Adam Reister, class of 2022, here to talk about your weekly Raider scoreboard news. Today we'll be talking about the Gators breaking Rochester Mayo's 27-meet win streak, Northfield Wrestling shuts out Austin, and the girls' basketball team drops a close game to Red Wing. All that and more right here on KYMN 95.1 The One. Let's start with Tuesday's recap. The girls' basketball team beat Owatonna 60-47 in their home opener, despite having no seniors. Paul Eddy was trying out some new offensive and defensive schemes with the new young team, and it worked well. Some highlights from the game: Emma Hodap led the team in scoring with 13 points, and in the final 3 minutes, they went on a 12-0 run. The boys' hockey team lost to St. Paul Academy 4-2, despite having a 2-1 lead after the second period. Ryan Will and Carson Van Zielen both had goals, with assists from Spencer Klotz, Bodie Hossing, and Will Todona. Cal Frank was in goal the entire game and had 28 saves. St. Paul Academy scored their final 3 goals in the last 8 minutes of the game. Now on to Thursday's recap. The boys' swim and dive team had their first meet versus Rochester Mayo and won 88-87. Came down to the final relay. It snapped Mayo's 27-meet win streak, and some big events were Eric Larson's 200 IM, and won it in 208.45. Dylan Smisek won the 50 free in 24.14. Nick Breen scored 129.4 points, but was the only diver in the meet because Mayo didn't have any divers. Marcus Houck won the 100 butterfly in 57.03. The win streak for the boys' varsity team is now 14 in a row, and JV won 117.34 and continues their absolute unbelievable streak, and is now 52-0, and has been going on since like 2014. The boys' basketball team played Apple Valley Thursday night and lost 90-64. Apple Valley was up 52-39 in the first half, and junior Kip Shetnan had 20 for Northfield, along with 13 from Anders Larsen, and 11 for Karsten Clay. The wrestling team dominated Austin Thursday night with a win 81-0. Six weight classes were forfeited by Austin before the match even started. Then Northfield won 7 out of 8 of the other weight classes with pins. Chase Murphy, Gavin Anderson, Ethan Johnson, Darren Kuiper, Mason Pagel, David Tonjum, and Nick Lopez all had pins. The boys' hockey team beat Mankato East 6-4. Isaac Johnson, Davis Royal, Carson Van Zielen, Spencer Klotz, and Teague Nelson all had goals, and Johnson and Klotz both had 2. Cal Frank was again in goal all game and had 25 saves. The gymnastics team beat Winona 133.8 to 127.025 in their first match of the season. Addison Dack won the all-around competition, finishing first in the vault, uneven bars, and the floor. The team also had won 4 individual titles in 4 disciplines. Now on to last night's scores. The boys hockey team played Alexandria area but lost 3-2. Will Todona and Ryan Wild had the goals last night. The penalties hurt Northfield big time with 5. Cal Frank was again in goal all game and had 22 saves, but it was not enough for the Raiders. They trailed 2-0 after 2 periods and tried to make a comeback, but couldn't pull it off as Alexandria's goalie stopped 20 of their shots. The girls' basketball team fell to Red Wing in a very close game. The final score was 56-55. The Wingers led 33-28 at the half with over 11 minutes left. Megan Faback hit a 3 to give the Raiders a 1-point lead. Red Wing took back the lead, but the relentless Raiders took its biggest lead of the game with under 3 minutes left after Emma Hodap hit 2 free throws to take a 55-52 lead. But Abby Deming of the Wingers took it to the paint for the eventual final score of 56-55. The boys' basketball team, however, beat Red Wing 79-65. Everyone was getting the ball in last night's game, with Clay leading the team with 21 points and Shenton right behind him with 19. And 6 others with 5 or more points. Ashenton had 3 threes. Lebemski and Clay also had 3s. With 14 minutes left in the game, the lead for the Raiders had shrunk down to 8, but they kept feeding their guy, Daniel Monahan, who scored 6 of the 7 points at the end to maintain the lead. We have 4 events today, Saturday, December 7th. There's a weightlifting invite at the Northfield High School Gymnasium. There's a wrestling invite at the Coon Rapids High School. The girls' hockey team travels to Gardens area to play War Road at noon, and there's a gymnastics invite at Twins Oak Middle School. Good luck to all teams today. That is all I have for Raiders scoreboard and news. Now here is an exclusive interview with swimming captain Jose Gonzalez.
From your friends at Docmo Ford Chrysler, the home of the best price guarantee on new vehicles from Ford, Chrysler, Jeep, and Ram, is also the home of an outstanding service department where we always guarantee to have the lowest prices on tires for all makes and models. We even beat online prices on the 13 major tire brands we sell, guaranteed. So if you're ready for extraordinary service, we're here to serve you. 7 to 5:30, Monday through Friday, and Saturday 8 to 3. Now with same-day installation on most vehicles. Go Raiders from everyone at Docmo Ford Chrysler on Highway 3 in Northfield.
Air system in your home keeps you comfortable year-round, but most people don't know there's a lot more than air coming out of your ducts. Let the professionals at ServiceMaster by Hyatt get the dust, dirt, allergens, and even dust mites out of your ducts and out of the air you breathe, so your family can breathe clean, healthy air once again. You have a choice of who to call when it comes to cleaning your ducts and improving the air you breathe. Make the right choice. Demand the best.
Demand the yellow van. Service Master.
Service Master by Hyatt, 877-945-0993.
Well, thanks a lot there, AJ. Welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on a Saturday morning, 10:39 in the a.m. this morning. Clear skies, well, mostly clear skies, and plenty of sunshine today to get out and about and do a little strolling around the neighborhood today. Coming up in just a minute, we'll kick it back to AJ here. He's got an interview with one of the swim team people, the Jose Gonzalez. It's an interesting interview, insight to what goes on with the players and the participants in our athletic activities here in the Northfield area. I just want to remind people, next week on the Raider Wrap, we're going to have head hockey coach Paige Haley will be in the studio. It's a former Gopher alum, and she is the coach of the hockey team. They are off to an incredible start this year. They're all the way up in War Road today. They're up to, I think they're 5-1 on the season right now. So that'll be a fun interview, along with Chris Morgan coming in with the girls' swim team. We'll be in next Saturday starting at 10 o'clock. And, of course, we'll have an update with AJ again, bringing you all the latest in scoreboards and inside interviews. So with that said, let's kick it back to AJ. And he had a very nice conversation with Jose Gonzalez of the swim team. AJ, take it away.
Good morning, Northfield Raiders, and welcome to Meet the Raider. Today I'm interviewing Jose Gonzalez, captain of boys swim team. All right, what's up, Jose?
Hey, AJ, how's it going?
I'm doing good. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good.
All right, let's get right into it. So, first question, why did you choose to join swimming out of all other winter sports?
Honestly, it's kind of a funny story, not going to lie. Right. I was in eighth grade, middle school. One of my friends was saying, hey, you should join swimming. And I was, like, kind of hesitant about it, you know, because, like, swimming. I don't know. I didn't really know anything about swimming. But one of my friends actually cared, you know. It's, like, actually, like, and forced me to join something. And then I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And then what I didn't know is that there was actually four different types of strokes. So I joined swimming only knowing how to doggy paddle. So
it, nice.
Although it took 2 weeks to learn the main strokes, it was a fun time. And I knew I had a lot to learn and it was going to be a journey. So
very nice. Next question. What motivates you to stay with this team even with that tough start of only knowing doggy paddle?
Yeah, exactly. I would say I have like many things that motivate me to stay with swimming over all these years, but mainly there's been like a lot of memories, mainly only like a few that stick out. Because like I remember in eighth grade when I first joined, right? Mm-hmm. And then it was like we were doing these time trials to see how like fast everyone was at the beginning of the season, right? Yeah. And then me being the small, skinny eighth grader, right? I knew this wasn't going to go well because I didn't really know how to swim. And nevertheless, I had to go all out and I didn't really know how to do that. So I waited my turn to go on the blocks. And then this team was like, honestly, I did not expect this reaction to come out of the team. Because like it took me a minute to do each 50 yards. Every time I came back, like all I would hear was just like, let's go. Like everyone would be cheering. And it would just be like so heartwarming. Mm-hmm. Just from every single thing. But yeah, just a never-ending amount of support from the team, and the team spirit itself helped me understand the only way to get better and improve swimming, my swimming skills, is to like set goals for yourself and like genuinely work hard to get what you want.
And I can do freestyle in like 30 seconds.
Yeah, exactly. It's helped a lot.
So this year you're a captain. Why'd you run last year?
It's a good question. I mean, yeah, I took a long time thinking about whether I should sign up to be a captain, because I knew I was like one of the other seniors that hadn't been on the swim team as long as everyone else. I've only been on the swim team for 5 years, and then I've done like club and other stuff on the off season. But I mean, I mainly ran for captain because I like looked up to the other captains in eighth grade and like anything else. I knew that like I just always wanted to be one, because like knowing that you're the person that people look up to is just like makes you think about what you do that much more, and like makes you want to be a role model for everyone else. And like I know that I have like a pretty energetic personality. Yeah. And I like to bring that out a lot.
I know. Yeah. A lot of guys have noticed that in practice, just with the captain's practices lately. So that's good.
So yeah, I mean, like also just like I just wanted to help lead an amazing group of guys that I like to call family. So
what was your initial reaction to becoming a captain, because that's like a big deal?
Tell me about it. But like, not to sound like stereotypical or anything, but like I was surprised, because like knowing that they're only choosing three captains this year than like the previous years, then they had like four the last year. But every single candidate, like they had their own good qualities, right? But like I had no idea I would have become one, you know. It would have been basically a dream come true in a way. Nevertheless, I wasn't like the fastest guy or like the loudest or like the best on the team, but like I wasn't like also bad. So like I'm pretty sure most people knew me because of like my positive personality, and many people saw like those qualities in me and they're like, hey, we kind of want that. So
as captain, you get to plan out team meetings and maybe even have a little input on practice. So what are your plans for this season to try and push this team to another great season, even with the loss of so many great seniors?
Although last year was by far one of the best seasons I've ever witnessed.
Yeah.
I still think this year we still have a really good chance of if not doing better, or like doing as good as we did last year, because this program has been known have a really strong swimming program. Mm-hmm. And like amazing depth regardless of any competition, and like many boys will need to step it up. I think it's the only way to do so is just like working hard and like motivate one another to do their very best. Honestly, like anything is possible if you put your mind to it. Like, yeah. Although we're in like a harder section than last year, like Lakeville South, Farmington, like all those big teams, I still think we have a pretty good shot. Yeah, anything's possible.
And Doug Davis is always going to be there to push us even
harder. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Gotta love Doug Davis.
Of course. So what are you most excited for this season?
Honestly, I'm really excited to see the guys come back that were in swimming last year. Just like know that they're this dedicated to keep on going, although last year was the best year ever.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I just like to see the guys see how much they've improved over the off season. I'm excited for the new competition this year too, because after a rough ending last year for me, I came in 17th out of something, but they only took the top 16, so it was rough.
Ooh, that's
it's really nice. Only by like a millisecond. So
yep.
I've worked hard over the summer, like doing some lifting and stuff, so getting back into the grind. But I mean, I'm happy to see what this year has in store, you know?
Yeah, sounds like a lot of fun. So you talked about like what you swam last year. What were the events that you swam and that you got 17th in?
Okay, yeah, I swam the 200 free last year at section prelims. I used to be a backstroker, but I think I just ended up not becoming a backstroker anymore because Davis just stopped putting me in that event. I would say I'm a mid-distance type of guy, like 100 free, 200 free.
Mm-hmm.
Not a distance guy at all.
Yeah, doing the 500 takes a lot of guts.
Oh, yeah, it does, but who doesn't want to swim at 50, am I right?
Like, exactly.
So,
what other sports do you do outside of swimming?
Outside of swimming, okay. I do soccer and track, and I'm also a captain for track as well.
Yeah, so. That's right.
Yeah.
Very nice. As a senior, there's a lot of stuff to do. So what kind of classes do you take as a senior, and how are you able to manage your swimming life and the school life?
That's also really good thing to point out, because I'm only taking 5 classes this year at the high school. I'm just taking like basically regular classes, because I have to take one college class at Carleton that I go in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but I have to take my final for that this coming week, so that'll come to an end. Yeah, there's a ton of studying that goes into it. It really relies on like time management, you know, just like knowing what you have to do and like your priorities. If you have stuff you can hold off, then you can hold it off. But like if you need to get stuff done, you have to get it done quick. And then being in 3 sports, other stuff, other clubs, it's like hard to stay on top of school stuff. But
even as a sophomore, I'm noticing time management is a big thing, and I'm going to be a multi-sport athlete too. So
yeah, but I mean like it pays off. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks really good on a college resume.
Yeah, and it keeps you in shape too.
Mm-hmm. So what are your plans after high school with all these Carleton classes and stuff?
Yeah. I applied to Baylor, so early decision. So
nice.
We'll see how that goes. Yeah, I haven't gotten a decision yet back, so we'll see. We'll see.
Yeah, they're doing pretty good in college football right now.
Oh, so. Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. So have a really nice track program, and like, yeah, that's what I look into too.
Nice. So last question. So what is some advice that you have for young swimmers or kids who are thinking about joining the team?
Although swimming itself may seem as like a very hard sport, it is. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It is a really hard sport. Like, it's also like one of the best sports you can join. Like, Northfield Swimming like has its reputation as like having really smart guys come together. Yeah, we just come together. And if you're like, you're looking to make friends, have fun and mentally and physically challenge yourself. It's what you should do. And like, I've learned several things about myself joining swimming. I mean, anyone can join swimming. Like, you don't have to have certain genes, but I mean, although it does help.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But yeah,
certainly
anything's
helps.
Possible.
Even just past few captain's practices, just, you know, this is my first year back and I'm already feeling a part of the team and all that good stuff with the water polo. It's just been a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's basically like a second family. So
yeah, and it's great for cross training if this isn't your number one sport.
Yeah.
So.
If you want to get a six-pack, that's a sport to join.
Yep. Yep.
So,
all right. Well, thank you for coming in, Jose.
Yeah, thank you, AJ.
Yeah. That was Jose Gonzalez, captain of the boys' swim team. And that is all from Meet the Raider and your host, Adam Reister, class of 2022. Thanks for listening.
The new Benedictine Living Community of Northfield opens this December, but apartments are filling up now. Don't miss out. Call 507-216-4468 or visit blcnorthfield.org today to learn more about Northfield's newest senior community. That's 507-216-4468 or blcnorthfield.org. Benedictine Living Community of Northfield.
Hey, I'm Chad Greenway. When I was playing, I loved chasing down running backs. But you shouldn't have to chase your bank around when you're buying a home. Franz and Bank and Trust Mortgage Consultants will be with you stride for stride, like a linebacker on a running back, from pre-approval to closing and beyond. Let Franz and Bank guide you through the mortgage process. Learn more at franzandbank.com /get there.
In Dundas Northfield, contact Jan Stanton, Franz and Bank and Trust. Real people, real results. NMLS number 769611. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender.
The Quarterback Club in Northfield serves the best flame broiled burgers, baby back ribs, and chicken in Northfield. They also have daily specials that are sure to satisfy. Every meal is made to order, and you can dine in or take out. For daily specials, quality food, and great prices, make it the Quarterback Club in Northfield.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Raider Wrap. It's 10:50 on a Saturday morning. We're up to 31 in the Northfield area. Beautiful, sunshiny, blue sky day. Welcome, welcome, welcome. First kickoff program here of the Raider Wrap for the winter season. Jimmy LaRue with you, along with Jeff Johnson helping me out, and A.J. Reister as our sports aficionado here in the Northfield area. He'll be joining us here in just another minute or so with some additional sports wrap of our pro sports in the area. Just wanted to give you a couple updates. Let's put some stuff on your calendar, shall we? This Tuesday, December 10th. We're going to have girls basketball broadcasted live here on KYMN, so we hope that you can join us. They'll be going up against Rochester John Marshall. And then on Thursday, hockey is back, and it will be the girls hockey team, who again is off to 5-1 and is in War Road today. They'll be taking on Rochester Mayo, here at the Northfield Ice Arena. Then the following Tuesday, it's going to be boys basketball on Tuesday, December the 17th, and Thursday, boys hockey again. They'll be in here at the Northfield Ice Arena against Mata Midi. And then on Saturday, we got a great one coming to you live. It's December the 28th. That's Saturday between Christmas and New Year's there. The girls hockey team is going to go up to Lakeville, and they're going to take on Lakeville North in the afternoon on Saturday. So a lot of fun stuff coming your way here on KYMN, and we certainly hope that you can tune in and join us. Please put those on your calendar, and we will talk to you at that time. Let's kick it back one more time. I just want a quick reminder, coming up at 11 o'clock, Andy Beam and Dave Vesseldahl will be doing the outdoor program. It's a great program that I know that everyone gets excited to listen to, and those two really seem to have fun and really get into it. So that's all coming up here at 11 o'clock here on KYMN. So stay tuned. We've got plenty of more programming and some of your fun music and holiday music specials coming up later this afternoon as well. So with no further ado, let's kick it back to A.J. Reister. Let's get up to date on what's going on with our area sports as a whole from our professional level with A.J. A.J., take it away.
And now for some Minnesota sports. Minnesota Vikings lost to the Seahawks last Sunday 37-30. Kirk Cousins looked good with 276 passing yards, but his receivers couldn't back up some good throws with receptions. Dalvin Cook was held to 29 rushing yards and 35 receiving. And the longest reception of the game was to Treadwell for a 58-yard touchdown, and it was his only catch of the game. If that doesn't tell you how much the defense held the receivers down. Xavier Rhodes had a horrible game for the Vikings defense, giving up many yards to receivers he defended, and ended up throwing his helmet in frustration. Dalvin Cook also left the game early with a shoulder injury, but is said to be ready to go for the Lions. The Minnesota Timberwolves lost to the Mavericks Saturday, 121-114. Carl Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins led the team with 26 points. Powell had 24 for the Mavs. The close shots lost the game as the Mavs only shot 29.7% from three and 50% from field goal and 21 fouls against Minnesota. They also lost to the Thunder last night, 127-139 in overtime. Jeff Teague led the team with 32 and Towns with 30. At the last second, the Thunder threw the ball all the way down the court and had a guy in the post and scored to take the game into overtime and ended up winning it in overtime. They dropped to 10-11. They play the Lakers tomorrow. The Minnesota Wild beat the Panthers Tuesday 4-2. Zucker, Kunin, Soucy, and Zuccarello all had goals. Kakkonen had 44 saves. It was an evenly matched game, Panthers having 13 wins and the Wild having 12. The Wild also beat the Lightning on Thursday 5-4. Zuccarello, Soki, Zucker, Eriksson Ek, and Rasak all had goals for the Wild, and Stalock had 30 saves. Both teams looking for a little push after a slow start to the season, but nonetheless, Minnesota pulled out on top and improved to 29-14-11. They play the Hurricanes today. The Minnesota Twins recently signed Alex Avila to a one-year deal. He was a catcher for the Diamondbacks last year and is hoping to provide a veteran presence in the clubhouse. This is AJ Reister, class of 2022, and that is your Minnesota Sports Scoreboard and News. Tune in next week for a recap on the Vikings-Lions game, an interview with Libby Brust, and a recap on all Raiders games and meets. Thanks for listening, and have a great Saturday.